Welcome to The Prop Drop. Tune in every week for the best prop bet picks and analysis across all major sports. Brought to you by WSN.com.
Hello and welcome to WSN's Prop Drop, where we talk the top props across the sports world. I am your host, Elise Anderson, joined as always by Ryan Sullivan and Adam Forsyth, and we're going to attempt to give you the best locks, most unique props, teasers, parlays, whatever we can find you. Make sure to check out WSN.com and subscribe to the WSN YouTube channel. Let's get to it. Ryan, hit me with your recap.
Yeah, I mean, so far, the week, it's been interesting. I've been moving a lot. The last time we had a show here, I was living somewhere else. And so moving during a worldwide quarantine isolation is always an interesting thing. But I'm getting really good at packing U-Haul boxes. So there's that going on. The big thing that I'm loving right now, the recap, and you know, we haven't done this in a little while because all bets have been, you know, getting pushed here and there. But if I can call this a biggest win, I think I'm going to. The Chargers saying they're likely going to stick with Tyrod Taylor. I'm going to put a little feather in the cap there. And because I've been calling that for months. So I'm going to pump my own tires a little bit to start things out before, of course, I lose every single bet ahead. So
I'm also going to jump in and say I wouldn't be proud of that because that is a horrible scenario for the Chargers. You don't want Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback. All
right. If Tyrod Taylor can bring the Buffalo Bills to the postseason in an AFC East where Tom Brady was still playing for the New England Patriots, he can do wonders with this amazing squad in Los Angeles. I believe in Tyrod 2020. It's happening. Absolutely. So thank you. Thank you. So why don't we get to my best steal bet of the week that I have found. The fact that Cam Newton has not been signed yet kind of throws up a red flag for me. And the fact that, of course, Jameis Winston, same story. And so I'm kind of looking at the Washington Redskins right now. They're listed on FanDuel paying 2.5 to 1 to be selecting a quarterback. So if Tua goes second overall, it's paying decent money. I'm wondering if the Skins are actually thinking we might hang on to Trent Williams right now. They're putting a really high price tag on him. Wanting to keep that offensive line intact a little bit. Obviously, bringing back in Scherf, extending him on the deal there. So if they go after Tua, you could be winning some money over at FanDuel. That's my biggest steal of the week.
All right. Well, my headline of the week is the Summer Olympic Games being pushed back by exactly 1 year. They'll now start July 23rd, 2021. Obviously, the right decision by the International Olympic Committee. However, what I find hilarious is they're still going to call the event the 2020 Olympics. And the reason for that is they've already created all the merchandise and all the posters and everything, and they don't have any money to replace it. So I cannot wait for the 2020 games in 2021 in Tokyo, which is insane. As for my steal of the week, I too, like Ryan, will hit the gridiron. This one is from 888 Sports. They have odds of wins for the Seattle Seahawks at 9. I definitely think the Northwest team finishes with a better record than 9-7. The 49ers are still the strongest competition in that division. I just think the Rams are going to have a really tough year. The Cardinals still trying to turn things around, so there are some easy wins up for grabs here. Seattle always fares well at home, so they manage like 6 wins out of their 8 games at CenturyLink. They should easily be able to manage a 500 road record. That will get them to 10 wins. That is my steal of the week.
All right, I like it. My headline of the week, I couldn't help but check out UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones pleading guilty to driving while intoxicated. Now, what I thought was slightly humorous about it is he's been sentenced to house arrest. Now, I mean, you don't want to say that being sentenced to house arrest is good, but right now, it's probably a decent time to be sentenced to house arrest, right? So we're all
under house arrest.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly. So he's just going to join the rest of us, I suppose. My best steal bet of the week. I didn't pull the trigger on this one last week, but I'm thinking I might do it this time around. At 888 Sports, still, they have hockey betting open to the public, and you're betting on games in Belarus. Now, it does make for some hilarious entertainment, but the lines are actually pretty good. So you can check it out at 888sport.com. For our next broadcast, we want to hear from you. Did you agree with our picks? Where did we go wrong? And most importantly, give us your wildest prop predictions from any sport. We promise to discuss the top comments in next week's show. Be sure as well to like and subscribe to the most up-to-date prop predictions in all the land. Now, before we get to our prop selections for this week, for our listeners living in New Jersey or West Virginia, head over to WSN.com for special bonuses and deals if you want to bet on this week's games. You can compare the best legal online sports books and get exclusive offers when you sign up and start betting. So, updating some chatter from last week, Sports Betting Dime released an update recently on the 2020 New England Patriots starting QB. We welcome their editor-in-chief and NFL analyst, Matt McEwen, to the show. Matt, how do you see this one playing out?
2020, I think Jarrett Stidham is the guy. You know, there's just, it's really going to come down to him and whether the Patriots want to, you know, look into Cam Newton. You know, there are all sorts of Andy Dalton rumors. I think everyone would love to see the, you know, Mitchell Trubisky in New England. It would be so Belichick to bring on Trubisky after, you know, one of just a horrible season and, you know, try to turn him into a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That would be the ultimate Belichick move. I don't think we're seeing that. I also, you know, if they were interested in Cam, I think they would have done it by now, but you know, I'm not inside the organization. That move certainly could still come. I do think Jarrett Stidham is going to be the guy this year. And, you know, the more interesting one, actually, that came out was 2021 quarterback. That one, it opened up a couple days ago. And, of course, it opened up right after, you know, head coach, GM extraordinaire Bill O'Brien decided he wanted to trade DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals. So very next day, we saw some odds open up on the Patriots' 2021 quarterback, and sure enough, Deshaun Watson was favored. So that was a really, really interesting one. You know, in the last week since that's been open, Stidham has become the favorite now there as well. So I think we're about to ride into at least 1 year of Stidham. You know, everyone's speculating that it's tank with Stidham, and then, you know, bring in Trevor Lawrence and start that dynasty all over again. Personally, I hope not, but that's the way, yes, I think Stidham for at least 1 year.
Some interesting points there that Matt's making, and, you know, I don't think it's going to be as big of a train wreck as a lot of people think with Jeff Stidham. I mean, this guy was, you know, a lot of people thought he was going to be a first-round pick, potentially even a top 10 pick coming out of Auburn after his fourth season. He went to his senior year. It didn't really impress that much, and he kind of lost a lot of draft value. So, but here in this system, I mean, you know, we say this all the time. Bill Belichick, he likes to find these diamonds in the rough. And, I mean, you heard Matt talking about Mitch Trubisky falling into that category, of course. I think Stidham could be decent. I think he's going to start there. And, I mean, Roto-World and The Athletic both reporting within the last couple of days that, yes, Stidham's got the inside track right now. And I think if you're throwing money down on this kind of bet, who's going to be starting in New England? Yeah, that seems to be the smart choice, because right now it looks like a Stidham-Hoyer 1-2 punch, even though the latter of the two lacks quite a bit of punch. But it looks like Hoyer's holding the clipboard and Stidham's calling the shots.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting one with Jarrett Stidham. It's looking more and more like he is the day one starter, and like, who am I to question like the legendary coach that is Bill Belichick? New England notorious for keeping their cards close to their chest, if you will. So I'm not really ruling out the Pats going after a veteran QB. Like you mentioned there, Matt mentioned Andy Dalton. His odds have now fallen to plus 950. Same with Cam Newton, and then Jameis Winston now at plus 1050. It's kind of worth a flyer on any three of those, because New England's options are shrinking by the day. And if they really are set on Stidham, well, best of luck to you.
All right, sticking with the NFL, new lines have been released on the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Ryan, this is a pretty offensively stacked draft. Which way are you leaning?
It really is. I mean, from top to bottom, I mean, you look at, you know, a lot of first-round mock drafts right now, and it's pretty quarterback stacked. It's very wide receiver stacked. You know, O-line, you've got some great defensive, some great secondary players in there. It's a little light on running backs, first-round running backs in the mocks, but outside of that, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is pretty offensively stacked. So right now, Joe Burrow seems to be the top dog on most boards, of course, because he's the surefire. He's going number one. Cincinnati's not going to hiccup here. They're going to take Joe Burrow. And so everyone's thinking, yeah, this guy is going to be the top dog. However, you look at that Cincinnati O-line, you look at that Cincinnati offensive core, and it really hasn't changed too much. If Burrow's going to be the top guy, it's because well, likely Joe Mixon had a huge, huge season, and he's definitely got the potential to do that. He's a pretty hell of a running back. You know, it means that A.J. Green has stayed healthy and has looked fantastic all year long. But I think the odds are a little stacked against Joe Burrow. Regardless, though, if that's the way you're leaning, you're not going to get better odds on him than you probably are right now. So it's not a decent way to go. It's a pretty decent way to go, I should say. I'm interested to hear Matt's thoughts, though. Matt McEwen, of course, over at Sports Betting Dime. What are your thoughts here, Matt?
Yeah, Sports Betting Dime, we do have that tracker, as you mentioned. Offense Rookie of the Year, we do it all there. So it's really great stuff if you want to track the odds for whether it be a championship, you know, divisional odds, player awards. We have it all at sportsbettingdime.com. But yeah, Ryan, the Offense Rookie of the Year, you know, we certainly don't see it open this early that often, largely due to, you know, just no sports. The sports was trying to pull whatever out right now, get some of your money in there. Joe Burrow, heavy, heavy favorite. Very surprising to see him this heavily favored. You know, walking into the Bengals now, obviously we're hearing some rumors today that maybe the Dolphins are interested in acquiring that first overall pick. So we'll see. It's kind of, I think his better situation right now is Cincinnati. You still have at least A.J. Green there. You have Joe Mixon, kind of a bit of running game to lean on. It makes sense that he is the favorite. The Offensive Rookie of the Year generally is a quarterback. They love quarterbacks. I'll say that, you know, very confidently and point back to the fact that Dak Prescott won it over Ezekiel Elliott as rookies there. Should have been Ezekiel Elliott, but it's a quarterback's award, just like the MVP is. So it makes sense that Joe Burrow is the favorite. I don't like him at the price he's currently at, but it makes sense he's a favorite. And as of right now, it's just a little too early to bet anybody else. You need to know these situations. This is what I was saying. You know, it's so early to see these open. The draft hasn't even happened. We're still about a month away. So I personally, and if you love Burrow that much, you know, he's there. Get him, because, you know, if he lights it up week one, you're probably not going to see odds, you know, longer than maybe even on him the rest of the season. But if you like him, take him. Otherwise, yeah, you're probably best sitting back, watch the trackers and at Sports Betting Dime and just wait and see where they go.
He makes a great point, and I should have mentioned that even more so than I did. The tracker at Sports Betting Dime, from a guy that's worked a long time in this industry, it's so brutal when somebody says, hey, what's this guy's odds 3 months ago, and you can't find him. The tracker tracks him throughout the whole year. It's pretty awesome. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Burrow is the top dog. And if you look at like the top 10 teams that are drafting, the top 10 picks, they're pretty much all dumpster fires, of course, outside of the Chargers, but they're pretty much all dumpster fires. So the parity there is pretty decent. So it's not like a guy's just going into a terrible system like Burrow is in Cincinnati and has the complete odds stacked against him, because most of the stars out of this draft are going to have the odds stacked against him.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of nailed it, and Matt did as well, that Burrow listed at +225 right now. Like, I'm not really sure if I like those odds. It's just they're so low. What is going for the young QB, though, is that Kyler Murray was able to edge out Josh Jacobs for Rookie of the Year last year, and the Cardinals only had 5 wins. So it is possible that Burrow, like, drags the Bengals to, like, a 6-9 record. That might be good enough. My concern is the running backs that will be drafted. Matt was mentioning that running backs don't really win this award too much, but it really depends on where they go in the draft. If they land with a winning team that is willing to kind of thrust that prospect into the starting role right away, they could easily steal this award from Burrow. Two players that immediately jumped to mind, too. Jonathan Taylor is currently +1,100, and J.K. Dobbins is +1,800. If the chips fall a certain way on draft day, these two could be primed for massive rookie seasons and steal the award. So if they land on a good team, those odds will fall off of a cliff. So I'm going to maybe jump on both of them right now at +1,100 and +1,800 and roll the dice.
Love it. Head to WSN.com for extensive odds and free picks for all major sports. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, we have odd lines going, of course, for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Chase Young, of course, leads the way on most odds boards. Matt, let's get your take on the standout edge rusher from Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, same as Burrow. Very surprised to see him open up as such a heavy favorite. You know, he's in the like 3-1 realm, which to me is just crazy. It's very, very rare to actually see the top defensive player selected in the draft go on and win the Defensive Rookie of the Year. There's just There's so many very talented players and so many players that end up in better situations than, you know, that first player selected. So I certainly don't like him at this price. I agree with your assessment. I think he's, you know, really going to be a game wrecker at the NFL level. But in terms of betting him there, again, I'm holding off and I'm waiting until we see the draft next month, see where some guys land.
It's interesting. I mean, like, you know, Chase Young, he stands out for sure. I mean, a lot of people have said this guy is the most talented freak in this NFL draft. And of course, I use that word freak as a compliment because the guy is crazy. He's absolutely skilled. But he's going into a system here. And I know I just I'm kind of contradicting what I just said on the offensive side of the ball for Rookie of the Year. But defensive side of the ball, the odds are really stacked against you if you're on a brutal team. You can get lost in that shuffle very easily. If you're a guy like Joe Burrow and your quarterback, obviously you're going to stand out regardless of what you do in the game. Same thing with running backs, wideouts, you name it. On defense, it's a bit of a different story. And you look at the Washington Redskins, and we're talking about defense that was sixth worst in the league in points per game, sixth worst in yards per game, and fifth worst in giving up first downs per game 1 year ago. So regardless of how gifted you are, you're probably not going to stand out as much as you think you might, or most people might think you will, in a season that's probably inevitably, sorry Redskins fans, another miss, another failed season coming up in 2020 for these guys. Sure, Chase Young could be the standout, but you know, he's going into a system where the odds are really stacked against him, and I'm not going to put down money on this guy for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely talented, but this year's rookie class, it doesn't have that surefire star like last year when it was like clear from game one that Nick Bosa was going to win this award. I have some concerns about Chase Young. Only three edge rushers have won Rookie of the Year over the last 14 years, so you have to be a pretty special athlete at the position to claim the crown. I kind of prefer Isaiah Simmons' odds. He's at plus 750 right now. The inside linebacker will be a beast in the NFL from day one, from that first snap. And if he lands with the right team on draft day, I fully expect he'll be winning some hardware by the end of the season. As Matt mentioned, though, it's kind of early. You kind of have to see where the chips fall come draft day. But if I were to bet today, right now, I'm going Simmons at plus 750.
All right, let's branch out from the NFL for a little bit and talk some Major League Baseball. WSN recently released a new article detailing the favorites to win American League MVP in 2020. Main options, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Francisco Lindor, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gerrit Cole. I mean, I'd say it's Trout's to lose, but Adam, who's your pick? And are they missing anybody?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest parts of sports betting when the world shuts down because it's delayed the start of the MLB season, and like, I love passing time in the summer betting on baseball. So many games, so many props, so many articles on WSN.com, and you can usually find something out there that has fantastic value. MVP odds, not really one of those. I'm kind of crossing off anybody who suits up for the Yankees at this point. Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge still trying to recover from injuries, and it keeps like setback after setback after setback. I have massive concerns anytime a baseball player has a nagging injury. It's very concerning. Gerrit Cole will have a great season, but the Yankees have already lost Luis Severino for the year, and James Paxton's recovering from back surgery. The starting rotation is suddenly very weak, so Gerrit Cole will get the best, or he'll be the rubber match of all these different series. I would have said Astros' Alex Bregman had a great shot, but there's zero chance he wins the award anymore after the Astros' cheating scandal. He could hit 60 home runs, and he wouldn't get a look. Unfortunately for bettors, as Elise mentioned, I think Mike Trout is the pick. It's his to lose. He's simply the best player on the planet. But at plus 100, the odds kind of reflect that. He is the heavy favorite. He'll likely win if he stays healthy. Not much value there. So if you are looking for a long shot, if you want to roll the dice, which I love to do on this show, Josh Donaldson at 33-1, kind of interesting. He's back in the American League. It's part of a very deep and big swinging Twins lineup. They're loaded this year, so he might kind of get lost in the shuffle when other teams are scouting the Twins, and that could lead to some prime opportunities. So Donaldson at 33-1, not a bad bet.
I really like that pick. I like the Twins. I mean, they're a team that just, like, they haven't got theirs yet, but they have the talent there. They could totally break through, and especially with a shortened season, this could be the time. So, yeah, I really like the Donaldson pick. When it comes to Mike Trout, I've seen some lines that are paying almost 1-to-1 on this guy for AL MVP voting. That's ridiculous. What's the point of even rolling the dice in that? I mean, you might as well throw money down on any, you know, Angels game throughout the year and you'd get better odds on it. So there's no point whatsoever. So as much as I like Trout and I think that he probably will win AL MVP if he can stay healthy in a shortened season. There's just no point throwing dough on that right now. But for me, I'm going with a long shot too. And I shouldn't say I'm going with it. I'm just throwing it out there, predicting this guy will probably have a pretty sweet season. Yoan Moncada with the Chicago White Sox is going off at plus 4,000 at the moment. And, he had a shortened 2019. He didn't get, he missed about 40 games or so, but he still finished 21st in MVP voting. And now he's going into this shortened season with one hell of a lineup. The Chicago White Sox, probably the best offseason of any team in the bigs, bringing in Dallas Keuchel, Gio Gonzalez on the hill, the guy that doesn't age. I just love this guy. Maybe it's a personal thing. Edwin Encarnacion, but of course, Yasmani Grandel. They broke the bank for this guy behind the plate as well. They're going to have one hell of a squad going out this year. And, you know, what does that mean? That means more at-bats, and that means more at-bats with better situational potential as well. So I like Moncada as a long shot. I think you should throw him on the board if you're looking at MVP futures, but it's something where you've really got to preach patience, especially with an MVP or, excuse me, a baseball season that could likely even go into November now, is what some people are saying.
Right. WSN, of course, also releasing some NL favorites, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich, and Ronald Acuna Jr. Ryan, same question. Who are you talking and who's missing?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed the right one of the names. I forget the order there, but one of the ones you said, the Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich, I absolutely love the guy with the. I heard the name, and then everything went black. With the Brewers there, I mean, he had an absolute beast of a year last year. If not for injury, he probably would have won Most Valuable Player. So he's way up there on my list. Another guy that I'm surprised isn't really getting all the noise is Nolan Arenado with the Colorado Rockies. He should be on this list. He ended 2019 batting .315, 41 homers, almost 120 RBI, and he gets snubbed out of here, out of the top five. That's crazy to me. So the other guy that I'm going to roll the dice on, though, and this is a long shot, Fernando Tatis Jr. With the Padres there. He only got in half a season last year due to an injury that kind of ruined everything for him. Probably would have, taken home some hardware regardless. But through 84 games, belted 22 home runs, over 100 hits, 53 RBI, and he's batting .317. Give this guy a full season, and by full season, there's an asterisk there because it's going to be a shortened season. I think he could do some total damage down there, and he's totally worth a look.
Yeah, I hit on this last year, and let's see if I can do it again. I pegged Cody Bellinger at 25-1 to win heading into the 2019 season. And thanks to the Yelich injury that Ryan mentioned, I cashed in. As for this year, Ryan and I are definitely on the same page. Yelich will want redemption. He is a stud on a Brewers team looking to do some damage at plus 700. I will not let that value pass me by. I also like to tease after he earned some big fantasy wins for me last season. I was able to snag him late in several drafts. However, I don't like his odds, Ryan, at plus 1,100, just not enough to entice me. My long shot is Pete Alonso of the Mets, 34-1. It will be hard to replicate his 2019 season, which was awesome. But if the slugger somehow drags that Mets team into the playoffs, he'll definitely get some votes, especially after the loss of one of their top pitchers, Noah Syndergaard. So Alonso, my long shot, but I agree with you, Ryan. Yelich, it's his to lose.
All right, DraftKings has released the odds for the 2021 Australian Open Women's Single. We're looking at Ashley Barty at plus 800, Naomi Osaka at plus 900, Bianca Andreescu at plus 1,000, as well as Simona Halep, Sophia Kenin at plus 1,100, Pliskova plus 1,200, and Serena Williams at plus 1,300. Now, I can't really help myself here. I've been dying to see Bianca Andreescu get back to the court. And at plus 1,000, I mean, this girl is a beast. She's the reigning champ at the U.S. Open, the Canadian Open, having defeated Serena Williams to win both titles. And when you prove you can beat the best, well, I think it kind of just speaks for itself. She's been plagued with a knee injury, of course. It's kept her off the courts for a bit. But this is the time to heal, and I feel like she's going to be ready to rumble pretty quick.
I think it's a great pick, and I'm throwing her out there as one of the favorites as well. I mean, she's definitely got the youth on her side, and I mean, if you look at like Serena Williams, and if she had a bad knee injury or something, the future doesn't look so friendly. But for Bianca, especially with all this downtime, Wimbledon getting canceled, she's got a lot of time to heal up. So, and given, obviously her U.S. Open performance, what she's done since then, she's definitely in the conversation. I like Naomi Osaka in this one. She's just definitely a big game player. When it comes to the majors, she's always there, coming down to quarter semis. I mean, her name is always in the mix. It seems she's just built for these kind of things. So, I mean, out of all the odds right now, I would throw her and Bianca out there, but I would love to meet the person that bets on this, that looks at the 2021 Australian Open odds. It's like, yes, finally they're available. I'm sure there's some out there that do it, but I'm not going to be throwing money down. Those are a couple picks that I like. But one cool thing that I will mention, though, while we're on the topic of checking out articles on WSN, they do have something that explains, and it's not an overly long piece. It's pretty succinct, which is nice, but it explains the ranking and the point system in the WTA and ATP ranks. It's pretty cool. So I just checked it out the other day. I learned a few things myself that I didn't know. And I hope some of the viewers can check that out as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Brian that like tennis is extremely hard to predict. But this kind of seems like an impossible task, really. Because momentum plays such a huge part of tennis success. Players can like rise and slip up and down the rankings so quickly. So trying to nail down a winner like 9 months away is so difficult. Not impossible, though. As Ryan kind of mentioned, where people are maybe making bets on this, it's because if you find a name at great odds, it's not a bad idea to jump on it now. Like if you're very confident that this person's on the cusp of a breakout season, they're going to win some tournaments in the fall, their odds will only get lower from here on out. So I did a bit of a deep dive. I couldn't find any long shots that were jumping off the board to me, but getting the defending champion at plus 1100, too tempting to pass up. Sophie Kenin proving she belongs on the big stage with her win in January. And if you were to find her odds on the Australian Open 2020 from last year, like this time last year, I'm sure it was astronomical. So there are people out there you can maybe pick and find. But as for the Aussie Open 2021, Sophie Kenin would be my pick. I also like Serena Williams at plus 1300. A couple of failed final appearances in recent years, the one she just lost to Andreescu that Lise brought up. Her next major title is looking kind of more and more elusive. Her odds have slipped as a result, but I'm going to take the risk. She'll use this coronavirus outbreak to rest up her aging body. She will come out swinging next year down under. So Serena Williams at plus 1300 is pretty tempting to me.
See, the puns don't have as much of an effect when you can't see that little twinkle in your eye.
Oh, I know
it's there, but
yeah.
All I can see is an ugly haircut in my selfie thing right now. So, this looks like the new Rams logo. This is just I got some work to. This is what happens when you can't go to a barber.
Before we get into our next prop, can I ask, because it is a hot topic worldwide? Yes. Have you guys tried to cut your own hair yet?
I'm curious soon. For you guys because like I'm a girl who has long hair, so I get my hair cut once a year. My mom is a hairdresser, so I've actually never been to a hairdresser. But it's the dudes who are getting haircuts every, what? What do you guys, what's normal? Like every 3 weeks, a month?
Yeah, I go like every, once a month, every 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But
it's getting a little chaotic in here. So yeah, these angles are not good in the selfie cam.
I've been debating, like, when I was in my early 20s, I had hockey hair. I had, like, a long flow down to my shoulders for a summer.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe I'll do that again. But I don't know. I kind of want to keep my marriage intact, so I probably shouldn't do that. I feel like growing out, like, the mullet's probably not the best way to make everyone happy. So, yeah.
Head to WSN.com for tons of betting guides for beginners and anyone wanting to learn more about strategy and how sports betting works. Let's hit the ice here. We learned a little more than we needed to about Tuukka Rask this week from Zdeno Chara. He's listed as one of the favorites to take the Vezina Trophy following the currently suspended NHL season. Adam, what do you think here?
Yeah, well, I'll be curious to find out if his odds take a hit after we learn that he is the gassiest of the Boston Bruins, at least according to Zdeno Chara.
Yeah.
The way goalies are employed in the NHL has definitely like shifted in recent years, and it kind of sets up an interesting race for the Vezina. Tuukka Rask has been the best goalie in the NHL this season, but his sample size is significantly smaller than several other goalies. Rask has pretty much split the net with Yaroslav Halak. They've both been great. Rask with a sparkling 931 save percentage, a goals against average at just over 2. However, he's appeared in less than 2,000 minutes of action. It's a trend in recent seasons for teams to rest their goalie, their number one, way more than past years. Like, gone are the years where Grant Fuhrer or Curtis Joseph played like 75 of your 82 games. However, teams still keeping things old school. There's a few of them, and one of them is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Andrei Vasilevsky is my Vezina favorite. He's been in the crease for the majority of the Lightning games, and after a slow start to the season, he was on fire when the league was put on pause. This record is insane. 32-9-3. He's been in the crease for 600 minutes more than Tuukka Rask. So while Rask might have the edge in numbers, Vasilevsky has a more impressive resume. I'll be curious to see if the voters agree with me, if and when the NHL awards are handed out at some point this summer.
It's interesting, and I think a strong argument can be made here. This guy doesn't turn a ton of heads throughout the United States, of course, because he's playing north of the border. But Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg, he's only .01 behind Vasilevsky in goals against average. Better save percentage, has almost 200 more saves than Vasilevsky. Obviously, he's had a little bit more time in the crease as well, a few extra games on the resume. But at the end of the day, though, I think I agree with Mr. Forsythe. This is the Honda Accord here. The W count plays into everything. And Vasilevsky, you said it, 35 wins and 52 appearances, meaning his effectiveness is at 62%, which is 4 points better than second place Mr. Tuukka Rask, who does have some bad gas, but apparently he loves his chicken wings. So can't fault the guy for that. We have that in common. But Andre also helped earn his team 73 points through that 35 wins and 3 overtime losses. Best of any tender on the board. It's Vasilevsky's award to lose. And if the season were to end today, or even just have a shortened, maybe just play 2 or 3 more games regardless, this guy has it pretty much locked up. So to be honest with you, if you're looking at this bet from the outside, you're looking at, you know, there's still a Vezina futures at play here, and there's still money that you could put down. It pays way better than 1-to-1, obviously. This might be free money with Andrei Vasilevsky. So, yeah, that's where I'd throw my cash, too.
I like it. Smart. Let's check in back in with our special guest, Matt McEwen, now for a closer look at the way too early lines for Super Bowl 55. Matt, before I throw this out to the guys, we have some updated odds. Kansas City Chiefs plus +500, Ravens plus +650, 49ers plus +750, New Orleans Saints at plus +1100, Buccaneers plus +1200, Packers plus +1800, as well as the Patriots and the Seahawks. Who's your dark horse on the board, Matt?
So, I don't know if you'll kick me for saying they're a dark horse, but I really, right now, the one team I've been betting so far is the Steelers. You can get them right now. I got them at about 22-1 to win Super Bowl, which I think is great, great value. You know, you get Big Ben back, and even if you look at the team last year, you know, even with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, they were still winning games. You know, they were a game out of making the playoffs, and you get Big Ben back. They built a very, very good defense, and that's one of the very few defenses I think will give Patrick Mahomes trouble. And because that's, you know, if you're going to win the AFC now, you have to be able to slow down Mahomes and slow down Lamar Jackson, right? So those are the two things you really need to worry about at this point. And I think Pittsburgh is one of the very, very few teams in the league that has the defense that can potentially do that. They've really built a very good squad there. Add Big Ben back into the fold, and I think the offense comes back to a much more, you know, at least serviceable level, if not, you know, above average. So I really like the Steelers at, yeah, they're 22-1, even at 20-1. I think there's a ton of value there. Really interesting as well, Ryan. I actually saw an early NFL, early Super Bowl 55 line open up, favoring the NFC by 1 point, which I thought was just absurd. You know, right now, if you look at the favorites, as you already mentioned there, the top two teams right now are Kansas City and Baltimore. So if either one of those teams gets to the Super Bowl, they're probably laying, regardless of who gets there from the NFC, AFC is probably laying at least 2 points if it's either one of those teams. So if you're right now, again, it's very, you know, it's still a futures bet. You're still letting the sportsbook hold your money for a while, but I don't think you'll get a better Super Bowl line than, you know, AFC plus +1 right now. If you're liking the AFC, if you do love the kind of crowded NFC, obviously, you know, maybe hold off and wait and see who gets there. But if you like the AFC, that I would take that 1 point and just sit on it for a while.
Man makes some interesting points, I'll admit. I don't know if I'm going to lean the way of the Steelers, but if you can get 22-1 odds, hell, why not? Might as well throw some dough down. But I don't know. I have their defense has improved, like Matt was saying. The offense, you bring Big Ben back, and he hasn't shown me enough the last few years that I think this guy is going to shake the world, and also the wideouts just aren't there as well. So that's my gripe with the Steelers, but nonetheless, it's a long shot, and that means just, you know, playing with fun money, so why not? Of course, if I was betting with my heart, I would go with the Los Angeles Chargers, but I've learned time and time again that's not the way you do things in this industry, so I will bet with my head, and if I had to go long shot on this one, I am going to take the Buffalo Bills paying plus 20 2,400 at the moment. And, I mean, let's look at the AFC East here. They're probably going to split games with the New England Patriots. Got to give the Patriots still. I mean, you know, they lose Brady, but they haven't lost too much out of that offense and defense, I suppose. So let's be nice. Let's say they'll split games. Okay, great. They're going to win both games against the Jets, no problem. After they lost Robbie Anderson, they're absolutely brutal. Unless, you know, Le'Veon Bell takes the world by storm, which I don't think is going to happen. And then you look at the Miami Dolphins. They've improved a little piece by piece. They're not going to be amazing. They're not going to take the world by fire. They got Ryan Fitzpatrick back there again from, you know, all signs pointing to that anyways. So there is 5 to 6 wins throughout the year, and with a new format here in the NFL and another team making the playoffs, there's pretty much an inevitable lock. These guys are probably going to win the division, probably going to make it in, no problem, I would say. And from there, it's a crapshoot. So if you're throwing down money, the Buffalo Bills look pretty damn good, especially with Stephon Diggs in that offense. They needed a deep threat. They got one of the best in the game now. I like the Bills. I'll roll the dice on them any day.
Yeah, I would have definitely picked the Bills as well, but it absolutely disgusts me to agree with Ryan more than once per episode, and we've already hit our Honda Accord limit. So yeah. I will shift my attention to the Green Bay Packers. You can shop around for these odds, but the lowest I currently found them is at 22-1. The value is certainly there. Any team led by Aaron Rodgers should always be considered a contender. They haven't done a lot to improve over the winter, but they finally have a fully healed up Devontae Adams, and that is the X factor for them. That dramatically improves their roster. Aaron Jones took a massive step towards stardom last season. I think his stock only rises in the back half of 2020. I think they should easily win their division. A Super Bowl title, definitely not out of the question. I think they are my long shots to win. That being said, like Matt pointed out, I still think the Chiefs take home the championship. Their odds continue to fall, now at plus 550. I was able to get them at plus 700 back in February. So while as much as I want the Packers to win, I still think it's the Chiefs to lose.
You know, and to your point, Adam, they got rid of Jimmy Graham, so that can only help your team, really.
That's true, yeah. How did he get a 2-year deal? That is unbelievable.
Amazing. Only in Chicago.
All right, and it wouldn't be normal chatter nowadays if we didn't mention Tiger King. There is a new prop out from Bet Online for the Tiger King. Will he be pardoned by Donald Trump? We're looking at plus 575 for yes and minus 1100 for no. Head to WSN.com for expert online sportsbook reviews that let you compare all the best legal sports betting sites available in the United States. You guys, I don't even know here. Like, I would like to think that crazy is going to pardon crazy, but I feel like it's going to bring just too much drama on top of the drama for Trump to go forward and pardon Joe Exotic.
Have you caught up yet? Are you watching or what?
No, I haven't even tuned into this. Like we just got, you know, the TV out of the box here from the move. So I clearly I have to watch it because this is what the world's talking about these days. I'm hoping that it's like a David Attenborough documentary about tigers?
No.
See, I don't know if I'm interested now. I love the sound of that man's voice.
Ryan, honestly, I promise you, I can't even describe anything more wild than this show. Like, I've never watched anything that has all of the elements that this show has. I mean, polygamy, murder plots, it's insanity. Like, it's insanity.
Elise, have you seen Speed? it's pretty amazing, you know, just saying.
Ryan, like, there's a point they show the reactions. They don't show the actual shooting, but they show the reactions of someone walks into one of the tiger shops and shoots himself in the head.
Yeah.
And like it really happened, and they don't show the shooting, but they show like the reaction of the employees who just saw their like coworker blow his brains out.
It's oh my gosh.
Chaos. This is what the quarantine's done to us. It's a world obsessed with Tiger King. We're talking Tiger King on WSN.com.
Is this the preview? Is that the trailer you're giving me?
100%.
I don't know if I want to watch that.
There's like some interesting developments over the last week from what I've been tracking the Tiger King, because it's been trending on Twitter worldwide for like the last 2-3 weeks now. all the people who initially watched it, Elise and I included, loved the show. The second batch, trying to catch up, they needed like a cool new take to seem hip and trendy. They said they hated the show. And now we're into like the third week, and this is the third wave of people who are refusing to watch the show because it's disgusting. Like, that's their hot take. Good on you. Whatever. That being said, I love this prop. Obviously, my first instinct to say, no chance Trump pardons the country singing Joe Exotic. That's right, Ryan. He's also a country singer.
Yes, he is.
Especially with the world in crisis. But like, on second thought, though, it's definitely something Trump would do. Instead of focusing on getting hospitals proper medical equipment like ventilators, he could pardon a crazy person. And I'm kind of intrigued. I'm kind of stir-crazy in self-isolation. So I think I'm going to take yes at plus 575. And also, footnote of that, Carol Baskin definitely killed her husband.
Definitely killed her husband.
If you were making those odds, what would they be?
Oh, that Carol Baskin killed her husband?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'd be like even money at this point that she gets arrested for murder by the end of the year.
Yeah,
she's
like,
done.
Where is Don Lewis? Where is he?
Ryan, you know that she does a web blogcast every single day. We should get her on as a guest on WSN.com.
Oh, yeah.
And she starts her webcast every day. Hey, all you crazy cats and kittens.
Every day.
That's amazing.
Every day.
All right. Well, I know what I'm betting on. I'm betting on that and the Extra Liga in Belarus. That's where I'm going.
Excellent. Right. Sounds like a good week ahead. A reminder, real money daily fantasy sports are a great option for people living in a state where traditional sports betting isn't legal. Head over to WSN.com and they can set you up with links to DraftKings and FanDuel. Don't forget to head to WSN.com as well as WSN's YouTube channel for tons of coverage on all sports. Make sure you like and subscribe to Prop Drop. For Adam Forsyth and Ryan Sullivan, I'm Elise Anderson, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Stay safe, everybody.